Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. That was on me, by the way, not on them. That was on me. I was moved by that last song, and I forgot to look at my clock to see what time to come up here. So I think we'll get through it together. Hey, if you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited you're here. If you're in the room, if you're online, man, these next 3 weeks are 3 weeks I look forward to every single year, because these are 3 weeks we set aside as a church to talk about one of my favorite things we do as a church. And if you're new, yes, I get emotional a lot. If that's not cool with you, it's like speed dating. I get emotional. My name's Trey. I cry a lot. I'm working on it. Actually, I'm not. I'm trying to own my feelings. Yeah. No, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about what we call Love MB. And if you've been around our church for a while, you know about Love MB. Maybe you have a t-shirt on today. Maybe you participated in a serving opportunity. Maybe you've given. And so for you, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, you've heard a lot of this before. And that's okay. 3 weeks a year, we recalibrate. 3 weeks a year, as a church, we stop. We talk about the same stuff because we want to make sure we get it right. Because I am convinced what we talk about for these next 3 weeks and our ability as the people who call Wellspring home to get this right is the single most influential decision we can make to participate with our Heavenly Father in what He wants to do in Myrtle Beach and beyond. That is how important we think Love MB is. And so we spend a few weeks a year talking about it to make sure everyone understands exactly what it is and why we do it. So if you're a guest today, if you're brand new, man, you picked a perfect Sunday to be here. I hope you'll come back, because you are going to get to hear exactly what our church is all about. So let me answer the first question, especially for the guests in the room. What is Love MB? It's a great question. I'm going to read you the long answer first, but don't worry, there won't be a test on it. And then I'll read you the short answer. Long answer, what is Love MB? It's Wellspring's initiative to resource nonprofits in our community that are making Horry County a better place. That's what Love MB is. Put a little more simply, Love MB is our attempt at changing the world. See, everyone says they want to change the world. Everyone says they want to see the world become a better place. Love MB is how we actually put that into practice. And the way we do it is very simple. We go find people in Horry County that are already changing the world. We go to them and we ask a very simple question. Hey, how can we help? How can we help further what you're doing? How can we help you in homelessness? How can we help you create a safe space for families in crisis? How can we help you make sure that families have the tools they need to climb out of poverty? How can we help you make sure that every man, woman, and child in Horry County has the food they need on a daily basis? How can we help you serve the families in our community that have children or adults they care for with special needs? How can we help you help them? See, everything I just described is a passion of God. Everything I just described is a calling of the church. We are called to help in all those arenas. Now, I will confess to you right now, as your pastor, I'm called to help. I don't know how. I don't know the best strategies and the best methods. I don't have the time. You don't have the time. And so what we do is we find organizations in our community that are already doing things that we know matches the heartbeat of God. And we simply go to them and we say, hey, how can we help? How can we help you do what it is that you are doing? And they always give us the same two answers, always. And it's always in this order. Well, we need money and volunteers. That's what nonprofits need. They need funds, they need resources to accomplish their dreams, to accomplish their vision, to be able to help people. And they need manpower, they need volunteers, they need people who will come in and help them further what it is they feel like they've been called to do. So having done this now for over a decade, having had conversations with nonprofits and knowing what they need is money, knowing what they need is volunteers, we created the Love and Be Initiative. We created this part of our church that we talk about and we participate in, hopefully to see Horry County become a better place. And so for us, it's simple. What is Love and Be? Well, it's 3 weeks a year we come together and we give. At the end of our service today, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a special offering. We call it the Love and Be offering. And here's the really cool thing about that offering. I know sometimes, especially if you're new to church, you're like, great, it took him 6 minutes to get to money. You're like, I knew it. Caught me. Here's the cool thing about the Love and Be offering. 100% that comes in goes out the door. We don't keep it. We don't keep it. We give it to these nonprofits. We use it to fund the initiatives we do through them. 100% of it goes out the door. And so we take an offering for 3 weeks a year. We also serve. That's where you see all these T-shirts. We do service opportunities throughout the year. Nonprofits will come to us and say, hey, we have some work we need done. We need some landscaping done. We need some painting done. And we'll do what we call Love Weekends, where we'll just go and we'll just bless this organization. Sometimes we do big Love Weekends and we serve all over the city. And sometimes we do smaller ones, because what we've really decided to do, rather than making it about us and this big event that we can brag about, we really want to make it about them. And so we've just kind of gone to them and we're like, hey, you don't have to work on our schedule. We want to work on your schedule. You tell us what you need. You tell us when you need it. We'll provide the people. Because again, we truly want to help them. And the reason we give, the reason we serve, is because we are convinced it is the best way to love our city. It's the absolute best way that Wellspring can proclaim to Myrtle Beach, to Horry County, and beyond, hey, we love you. And we love you because our God loves you. And more than anything else, that's what we want you to hear from us. That's what we want you to know. That in this place, when we gather, you are loved. And we're not just going to say it. We're going to give and we're going to serve so we can prove we love you. So that's what Love and Be is. Over the last 12 months, I'm happy to report, through your generosity, we've been able to give away just a little over $45,000 last year. Yeah. I didn't know this until this week when they told me. Over the life of Love and Be, we've given away just a little over $400,000. A little over $400,000, yeah. And honestly, guys, I think it's just the beginning. I don't think there's any limit to what God wants to do through us to love the community around us. And that's really what I want to talk about today, because what is Love and Be? That's great, right? I mean, yeah, it's this initiative, and maybe you heard about it, maybe you hadn't heard about it, maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't. That's cool. But the real heart, where I want us to go today, where I want us to go for the next few weeks, what's really going to change us, we're really going to position us to play the role God wants us to play in this community, isn't what, it's why. Why Love and Be? Why do we do it? Why do I talk about it? Why 3 weeks a year do we stop whatever we're doing and talk about it again? Well, the answer is very simple for us. We are a church built on Jesus. We believe what he says rules our life. We believe he is our Savior. We also believe he is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Commander. We've talked for the last few months about the value of building a relationship with him so that we can trust him to be our good shepherd. Because life gets better for us when we choose to follow him every single day. Not better as in easier. He literally promises, hey, I'm going to have to walk with you through some really dark valleys. It's better because it's more secure. It's better because we gain a confidence. Because we walk through dark moments being led by a perfect Savior. He's the King. So why love him be? For us, it's simple. Because Jesus commanded it. Not like an offhanded, sideways command, like the most important thing he ever said, command. Some of you know this story. The night Jesus was arrested, if you don't know the timeline, Jesus gets arrested on a Thursday night after a 3-year ministry where he really upset a bunch of the religious leaders because, as the series we just ended, he came and was presenting a better picture of God. Listen, you guys have the wrong picture of God. You're using God to hurt people. You're using God to manipulate. You're using God for power. You're using God for position. That's not who God is. Jesus says, I'm God. I came to love and to sacrifice and to connect. Religious leaders did not like that at all. And so they sought to have him killed. And he was arrested on a Thursday night by the Roman government. Had a couple trials Friday morning. He is beaten. At the hands of Pontius Pilate, he is sentenced to death. He is marched to a place called Calvary, where he carries his own cross until he can't anymore, and another person is forced to carry it. He's nailed to a tree, where he dies after suffocation. Buried in a barred tomb. Friday, Saturday, stays dead. Sunday, we believe, walks out of the grave, comes back to life, and changes the world. Not his ideas, not his teachings. Jesus literally, physically overcame death, walked out of the grave, came back to life. And that moment changed everything. So that's the history. I want to take you to the dinner he has on Thursday night before he's arrested. We call it the Last Supper. Because he was gathering with his disciples for what he knew would be the last time. And he gives them instructions and he tries to prepare them that he's leaving. And they freak out. They do not like it. And in the midst of this dinner, where he knows he's leaving, he gives them a command. He gives them something he calls a new command. Later writers of the New Testament, specifically Paul, would pull this out and call it the law of Christ. This law, this new commandment from Jesus, changed everything. It literally changed the world. Because his followers decided to obey. They trusted and they did it. And the reason we do Love and Be as a church is because it's our attempt at obeying that command. And here's what he said. He's got his disciples gathered. It's after dinner. He knows what's about to happen. They don't. They've been laughing. They've been celebrating. He gets them quiet. He calms them down. And John records these words. Here's what Jesus says. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Well, they perk up. A new commandment? Huh. He's literally never done that before. He's given us lots of commandments. He's talked about a bunch of commandments. He's told us which commandments are most important. He's given us a lot of instructions. But a new commandment? Did he just say a new commandment? And then he says, love each other. love each other. And they're like, we do that. All he talks about is love. That's all he talks about is loving each other. Of course we do that. And then he adds this part. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Until this moment in human history, love was subjective. Love was in the eye of the beholder. Love was what I felt like it should be. Well, yeah, I love you the best I can. I'm loving you. I'm trying. I'm serving you. Jesus says, you want to be my follower? That's not enough. I'm taking you off the table because you're not the king. You're not the savior. I am. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. And so a new commandment I give you, followers of Jesus. Some of you in the room today aren't followers, and you're like, phew, man, I'm glad that I'm not a Christian because that sounds really difficult. We're really pumped you're here, by the way. I know it sounds difficult, but it changes your life. And we believe if you hang out with us long enough and you get to know Jesus well enough, you'll change your mind about him. In fact, that's why we designed our church the way we did, so that you'd be comfortable discovering the love of Jesus. Anyway, so Jesus says, love other people, everyone, as I have loved you. He makes himself the standard. He says, the way you feel loved by me, the way you receive love from me, that is the measure by which I want you to love others. And I'm sure they're sitting there stunned. And we read it in hindsight, knowing he is about to willfully lay down his life for another. And he knew that when he gave this command. He knew what he was doing. He was setting the bar incredibly high. Too high for us to accomplish, by the way. He was setting a bar so high we'd have to go to him and we'd need him to move through us to make it even possible. And here's why it mattered so much. He says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. I want you to love the world as I have loved you. Here's why. Because your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. We miss this so much. Jesus could have literally said anything in that moment. They were going to receive the Holy Spirit. He knew they were going to perform miracles. He could have said, your miracles are going to prove to the world that you're my disciples. He could have said, your powerful arguments, your compelling speeches are going to prove to the world that you're my disciples. He could have said, your ability to accumulate and use power, that is what's going to prove to the world that you're my disciples. But he didn't, because he knew none of that would work. So he made the standard love. He said, it is your love, the way you treat other people, specifically the way you treat people you don't agree with, the way you treat people who can't do anything in return, the way you treat those people, that more than anything else is going to prove to the world that you're my disciples, that you walk with me. When they feel loved by you, that's when they'll begin to believe the truth that you claim to hold. And for those of us who consider ourselves Christians today, we've been on the other side of that. And you know what we would say? Yep, that's right. I fell in love with Jesus when I found out how much he loved me. That's what changes us. It's his love for us. It's understanding his passion for us. And it's understanding what he did for us. And for most of us, we discovered that through other people. Through a friend, through a family member, through a neighbor, through a coworker. Maybe it was your aunt, maybe it was your grandmother, maybe it was your grandfather, maybe it was your uncle. I don't know who it was, but someone loved you when you didn't deserve love. Someone showed you grace. Someone showed you compassion. Someone showed you mercy. And you didn't understand it. And it was at that moment you began to understand the power of Jesus. You began to understand the power of his perfect love. So see, what Jesus is doing for his disciples is more than giving them a new commandment. It's more than giving them an assignment. He's giving them the game plan. He said, I'm leaving, guys. I'm gone. And our plan is to leave it in your hands. And I know you're going to have lots of ideas. You're going to have lots of dreams and lots of visions about how to reach the world and how to reach people I love. So I want you to come back to this for thousands of years. I don't ever want you to wonder. I don't ever want you to argue. I don't ever want you to be confused, because I just told you the key. You want other people to believe what you believe? Love them as I've loved you. Treat them how I treat you. And again, the early church did. Next week, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about how the way the early church treated people literally changed the world. And one of the reasons is because after this was written, after Jesus died and comes back to life, after he ascends into heaven and the church begins to grow, the church begins to spread, God's Holy Spirit begins moving through some of Jesus' followers. And these men begin to write letters that we consider training manuals for Christianity. Men like Paul. Men like Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples. Men like John, the guy who writes this book. And men like Jesus' little brother, a man named James, goes on to become the leader of the Jerusalem church. And near the end of James's life, he feels the Holy Spirit lead him to write a letter to people like him, people who had been Jewish and people whose lives had been changed when Jesus came back to life. Did you know James was not a Christian while Jesus was alive? He made fun of his big brother. He mocked him. And then he watched his big brother die and come back to life, and James changed his mind. Yeah. Which is about what it would take for you to declare to the world your big brother was perfect. But he did. And then James writes a letter. And in it, it's as if he picks up where Jesus left off. Because in James chapter 2, he says these words. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Whew. Lots of people read that verse and they get real scared, because they project onto James their own baggage, and they project onto James their own insecurities. And what they hear when they read that verse is, I knew it. I've got to work for it. I've got to earn my salvation. I've got to earn God's love. Because it says right there, what good is it? What good is it just to have faith? I've got to show it. I've got to prove it. And look, if that's what you believe, maybe that's maybe what you were taught. I understand. But that wasn't James's point. And I really hope you can hear that today. That wasn't what he was trying to teach, because that fundamentally goes against the core tenet of Christianity. Because the core tenet of Christianity is that we cannot earn what Jesus freely gives. We cannot earn it. We are saved by his grace, by his choosing to save us through faith, through simply believing. That's it. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do, and we are saved. It is really crucial that you understand that. Let me clarify it for you. Beliefs change us. Beliefs. That's it. You have to believe. You have to trust. You have to have faith. So what is James talking about? If beliefs change us, what's he talking about when he says, what good is this? Well, he's simply repeating what his big brother taught us. He's simply showing us how to continue to participate with his big brother in trying to make the world a better place, in trying to save the world, in trying to bring new people in to the faith we have, those of us that consider ourselves Christians. Because yes, it is true, beliefs change us. But here's what Jesus understood. And here's what James understood. And here's what you understand as well. Beliefs may change us. Behaviors change the world. See, I can believe in Jesus, and it changes me. But if I want you to believe what I believe, I have to behave like Jesus tells me to behave. Because it's him that we're trying to spread. So let's go back to the passage again. He says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, not to you, what good is it to other people? If you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions, can that kind of faith save anyone? You could add else to that sentence. What good is it for you to have faith, for you to be a Christian? What good does that do your neighbor? What good does that do your family? What good does that do anyone for you to believe it and not behave like it? That means the good stops with you. And I know this because this is exactly what James says next. He gives us an example. He says, okay, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. You say that, and then James finishes, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do for them? It does plenty of good for you. Oh, I'm such a nice person. I wish them well. Whew! I bet they love Jesus now. And James is like, no, you love Jesus. If you want them to love Jesus, you have to act like Jesus. He finishes this way. He says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough for the world. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless to them. We can get in here each week, and we can gather, and we can sing, and we can cry, and we can have our heart filled, and we can have these emotional moments, and we can hug each other, and we can say, Jesus is so great, and he's changing my life, and he is amazing, and I love him so much. And why doesn't the world believe what we believe when we are gathered in this room together? The answer is we leave the room and we stop acting like we believe what we believe. But we can do better. For 2,000 years, the church has done better. And the reason we spend 3 weeks a year talking about love and be is that it's our attempt to do better. Because here's what we know. We know for a fact, beliefs change us, behaviors change the world. And so this is our opportunity to refocus our efforts, to recalibrate, and to say, okay, we want to change the world. We want to see a better place. We want to reach our friends and our family and neighbors and our coworkers. Of course we want to do all those things. And we got to behave like Jesus behaved. Why? Why love and be? We said, because Jesus commanded it. Which means for us as a church, this became very simple. When we started the church from day one, God gave us a set of core values, a set of core principles, a set of core beliefs that we knew were going to define who we were as an organization. And the first one was this one, that we will be known for what we are for. Because so many churches and so many Christians are known for what they're against. We just want to get loud and get mean and get mad, and then we wonder why no one changes their mind. When is the last time you changed your mind because someone yelled at you? No, we want to be known for what we are for. And we unashamedly are for Myrtle Beach. We are for the Grand Strand. We are for Horry County. And that led us to ask a question that I think about almost daily. And it's this. If Wellspring disappeared tomorrow, would our community miss us? See, if the answer to that question isn't yes, we're not playing our part. Because for 2,000 years, people have been drawn to the church because of what they do, not because of what they believe. It's the doing that comes first. They're like, man, those people believe some crazy things, but they're so nice. And they're so kind and they're so helpful. I mean, they're just the sweetest. They're wacky. But they can cook. Woo! Man, my husband had surgery last year. I had enough food to feed an army. See, we do that because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. It's your love, guys. It's your love. The way you love people, the way I love you, that's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to make people notice. That's what's going to make them sit up and understand. And so, the invitation is to live a life that embraces that reality. To live a life, number one, that embraces the idea that beliefs, and beliefs alone, change us. We are saved through grace by faith. We have faith, we have trust, and he saves us. And he changes us from the inside out. And as he does, it affects the way we treat other people and our behaviors. That is what he's going to use to change the world. And that is why we proudly proclaim that we love Myrtle Beach. Because Jesus loves Myrtle Beach. And because Jesus died for them just like he died for us. And 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, he left the earth and he said, all right, guys, it's in your hands. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you all the power you need. I'm going to give you all the influence you need. Trust me. You love like me, I'll open every door. And so that's what we're trying to do. We want Myrtle Beach to miss us if we were to go. Not because of how big we were when we gathered, but because of the impact we made in their lives. Because God moved through these people to show his love. And so that's what this series is all about. That's what I'm inviting you to participate in. As we're going to see next week, it's a movement that works every time it's tried. It's a movement that we know changes things. So it's not a matter of does it work. It's a matter of are we willing to let God work through us. And I believe that we are. So as we wrap up today, one of the things we wanted to do is highlight some of the partners we work with. Because they're great organizations. And we want you to be passionate about the people we work with. We want you to know what impact you're having in Myrtle Beach. We want you to know how God is using your efforts to make Horry County a better place. And so I'm going to pray for us. And then I want you to watch a video. This is about SOS Care. They are an amazing organization here in town. That works specifically with families, with children, with autism, or other mental capacity issues, and their goal is to help them fully integrate into a society that's not really thinking about them. But God is. And those families are. And you are helping. And so let me pray, and then I want you to begin to fall in love with this great organization that you're helping to make a difference here in Myrtle Beach. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Oh, God, we're so grateful for who you are. We're grateful that you love through us. God, I pray that you strengthen our beliefs and change our behaviors. Father, teach us to love like you so that you can move through us to do what you always do. Change the world. We love you, Father. In your son's name we pray.